fact, a couple, first I want to have some for Reed. Maddie? You're looking at me, so. All right, John 12, 23 through 26, and then has one other. Alex, John 12, 42, 43. Can we go back to one? Okay, here we go. I was really proud of this as I tried to do it myself and I did the lines and everything. You know, you've heard this, you never know until you try. Well, Jesus kind of gave a message to some of his followers, and you never know until you die. Of course, that sounds a little morbid, but to ourself, to self. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. You never know until you die to yourself. So we're at John 12. Actually, I'm going to back up a couple verses to verse 20. This is shortly after Jesus said Jesus' triumphal entry. And it says, now there's some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. So, as much as people say, oh, keep the beggars back, or keep the children back, Jesus always said, no, let them come to me. But see, you know, there's always protection from his disciples. Hey, let's go get together, and we'll tell Philip, and then Philip can tell Andrew, and then Andrew can tell Jesus, and maybe we'll get, you know, aren't we so thankful that Jesus invites us right to meet with him face to face today through his Spirit. So, after that happened, then we get to verse 23. Jesus turns kind of conventional wisdom upside down, kind of like he does in the Sermon on the Mount, where it's like, well, the meek will inherit the earth, or blessed are those who mourn, or blessed, you know, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and all these things where, if, you know, the last will be first, the first will be last, turning conventional wisdom upside down. He says, you know, you can't truly live until you die. You can't have true life until you die to your old life. It's kind of like the illustration you probably heard before of a caterpillar. You know, going inside a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. We are a new creation as we trust Jesus for our salvation. He gives us a new spirit, we are a new creation. Yet, you know, a butterfly, you can't become a butterfly, we are still clinging to components of being a caterpillar. And that's so easy to do. You know, I think about a caterpillar's life, and you just wake up and you crawl out and just eat, you know, all day. And just, you know, you fulfill whatever your appetite is, whatever it is that you want, you know, you go for it. I know there's a purpose to that with a caterpillar, but so often we get comfortable with or desiring the life that, of the components of a caterpillar that it holds us back. But we need to lose our life, you know, in this world so we can enter in to a new and better world. It's like the seed, it talks about the seed that when man is reading, like an acorn that falls to the ground and dies. And if it doesn't, it just remains an acorn. In fact, the life of acorns that don't grow into oak trees, you know, is going through the intestines of a bear or a deer or something. Or something else. It's not a very pleasant life for the acorn. But when it does fall to the ground and dies, it can become an oak tree, and that's permanent and bears much fruit. So, in the same way, we need to learn to die to ourselves. We've got a short video, and we're going to grab the lights and kind of illustrates that. So that choice of what is God asking you to die to, and what is it that might be keeping you from the life that God has for you? And that's what I want to help you to get today, is real concrete in your head what that is for you, because it's going to look a little bit different for each person. But then it asks you, is it time now for that? And that's kind of a rhetorical question. Yeah, it is. So it'll look different for each person, but I wanted you to see what it might look like in one person's life for you in our congregation. So we've got the next picture there. All right. Jake, I think that's you. So since that's you, could you come on up and join me up here? I got a stool for you right here. Now, Jake, just returned on Wednesday.
Thursday
morning. So I'm gonna let him explain what he returned from. But as I was preparing the message this week, and then I was hearing about Jake coming back, I thought it'd be perfect to have him come and share as part of the service. As it relates to what we're talking about today. So let's start by just asking you the basics. How did this picture come to be taken, and what were you doing there? What and where is there?
So specifically, or just in general? I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
So I was in Jamaica for since May 30th, around 7.5 months at a children's home there. Basically just serving at the children's home with a couple of their interns there every night.
Okay, and just a little bit further than what is serving there at the home?
Basically, what we would do as guys, it was a little different from girls, but for the guys and you, one other guy, we would do manual labor pretty much every day from 9 to 4, whatever needed done. So that could be, it would change every single day. You'd never know what we were going to wake up to. It might be digging a trench for some water, because water is in such short supply up there. It could be fixing the road, because it was one of the worst roads I've ever driven on. It could be just anything. You'd wake up and do that until 4. And at 4, either you'd be so tired you'd want to go to sleep, or you could choose to kind of interact with the kids. And that's what was my passion. So just hanging out with the kids, doing whatever they were doing. Playing a lot of football, soccer, talking with them, laughing with them, all kinds of different stuff that is hard to be back from. But yeah, then on Sundays we would worship. We would give a short message. We'd go to the beach. Saturdays and Sundays we just kind of more time with the kids. So.
Jake and I were talking about this a little bit between games yesterday at the softball tournament. And he, like you said, just came back Thursday morning, and the experiences of being there and the countercultural shock of being back is still really raw. And so if I asked him if he could just come and share just a little bit with us here this morning, but understand that this is also so fresh with Jake. But if I just, we're going to talk about your life and death, and things we die to and things we come alive to in Christ. So I guess we'll start a little bit backwards here with you, and could you just share a little bit about the things that you felt coming alive in you while you were there, the real positives of being there?
Like you said, I'm nervous to share this stuff because I'm not sure if I've fully processed it all yet. I don't know if I ever will entirely. I'm just kind of waiting on God to clean it up. Quite messy in my head, in my heart. So basically, what thing would it be? Did I die to or what? Sorry.
We'll start with the live ones first.
Okay. The live ones. Things that became alive were more important to me when I was there was a huge one to obey when I've seen the scripture. And I've grown up in the church. I've grown up in an awesome family that loves the Bible and the scripture and always push us to read it. But it becomes stories so quickly, I think, to people who grow up in the church. It becomes stories and things that aren't real. And that's totally true to myself. many, many years of my life. So obeying what I see in Scripture and reading it and just taking it as it is, not trying to fit it to my life or try to mold it or shape it to something that works for me. Just taking it as it is, reading it, and doing what it says, obeying Scripture, is something that really has become something that's on my heart 24/7, because I don't think I've done that. So obeying Scripture, that includes reading the Scripture, right? Because if we don't read it, it's kind of hard. We just take it from whatever someone else says. Well, it's not Scripture anymore. So that, I think another thing that he laid on my heart was missions, because I think Jesus talked about it a lot, and I think that's what heart God has. And I think too many of us, myself, I've always pushed it to the side and thinking, that's something you're supposed to be called to. And I'm not sure that really lines up with Scripture. I think as Christians, that's something that is part of being a Christian. It's not for a certain select few of us. It's for everyone we're going to. And that can be totally different. It could be going somewhere far away. It could be somewhere here. But I'm convicted coming back, and it's become really important to me, because I kind of just push that word off. It's going to become kind of cliche, and the fact that missions or being a missionary is something only someone called to. And some of us are going to be called to be something else. And I don't think that that works anymore. I think we're all called to missions. And I think I'm called to missions. And I'm excited to see where that's going to take me. But that's it. So far, right, this is all I'm
doing. You're good.
Obeying the Bible as it actually says, as it is, not trying to mold it and fit it around my life. And missions, those things have both become alive in the new world, as you say, they're more important.
Great. All right. So, talk about, like you just summarized, the thirst for and wanting to obey God's word. Missions, and we were just talking about this morning. Yeah, you're right. It's not a one person or one group's job. We're talking about this morning in our group. All the things that we'll be doing as we talk about our eternity, like we will continue to worship God, and we'll continue to fellowship with God, fellowship, you know, believers, and we'll continue to grow more like Christ, and we'll continue to serve Christ. But that one thing, that share Christ, that evangelism, that missions, whether it's across an ocean or across your street, or, you know, to share the gospel, that is what we have, this one window from this day to our last day to be able to do. Now, to be able to do some of those things, as some of those things come alive, as we talked about, God must increase and I must decrease. So as God is increasing in your life, looking at your life now and looking back as you're back in Michigan, what are some of the things that you found that you find yourself dying to more, or things that are becoming less important as you compare the greater importance of God and Scripture and mission?
It's interesting that you say dying, so die, because I think the point is dying to self or dying to the world isn't a one-time thing. That's so true of myself. Dying is an active thing. You've got to continue to die. You've got to fight and die for yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So,
yeah,
these things are all things I'm still dying to. I'm not like, sweet, I die once and I'm good. They're things I'm just wrestling with on a daily right now. So, basically, a couple of things. A big one, and one word would be my future. I want control. I want to hold things in my hands. So anyways, basically, my future is something that is put on such a pedestal in my own life. My four-year plan, my two-year plan, my plan for the next semester. I want to be in control. I want to think I've got it figured out. I'm holding it in my hands. When in reality, going to Jamaica, I see that he can change that like this. Basically for me, things that were important were college. I want to be a good student, I want to get a good degree. And coming back, I don't have as much of a drive for college. That's not to say I'm not wanting to be doing well academically, but I'm finding it less important than the things of Christ, which means seeking Him, whatever that may be. Maybe that is college, but maybe it's not. So things that were important were college and my future and a four-year plan that I had kind of scoped out, and now it's kind of broken that up. And wait for me, and whenever I'm going to meet you, maybe that's next semester, you better get ready to go. Okay, so college or my future. Money or the pursuit of it, that's kind of a basic one, especially when you go somewhere that doesn't have as much money. But besides that, bitterness and judgment is something that I have to deal with a lot because being back is hard because I don't think I want to be back in a lot of ways. Now I get bitter or I get judgmental of the people around me because they don't understand exactly what's going on with me, and kind of like all over the place. So I get judgmental and I get quick to speak out or judge, and that's totally not okay. Once again, you just hit on the control thing, because I think I am a control freak, is that became really real to me because there's a young girl there at the children's home who actually went back to her mom, who had abused her in the past and then sold her for money to people. And she went back to that mom while I was there. And that control aspect came out roaring. Because for me, I'm like, whoa, why are you going back to that mom who's just messed up your life? I wanted to stay at Robinson's Children's Home, where it's safe, where God can protect her, where I can protect her in so many ways, where I can pretend that I have control. And that aspect of control is something I'm struggling with today, because I want to control my life. And that's not how it's going to be, you know? So I'm having to die that every day. An aspect of control.
Can we give Jacob a big hand for sharing with us? Anybody feel like that? Anybody have an idea for your future, whether it's next week or next month or 4-year plan? Right? Show me this if that applies to you at all. Yeah. It's almost like this, it's almost like this. I know, exactly what I want to happen. I had to write that down, fighting to die. And again, that's the countercultural, where fighting to stay alive and fighting to die to self is something so important. There's another group in this story in John 12 that was struggling with fighting to die. And in fact, let's read about that in John 12:42.
Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men. They loved praise from men more than praise from God.
So there was a lot of Jewish leaders believed in Jesus, but they were kind of the devotees of Jesus in secret, because they were fearing excommunication out of the church. You read about the stories of Nicodemus, who came late at night to Jesus and would be seen, or Joseph of Arimathea, which is one of the ruling authorities who came and was devoted to Jesus. We read more about the excommunication in John 9. Pretty soon, Charlie, I'm going to be asking my kids to bring my readers to church, but I haven't admitted yet that I need that. I'm still holding on. Verse 22. So his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. So the parents whose son was healed from blindness were afraid to acknowledge he did it. Because in communication, the synagogue was the center of Jewish community life. So excommunication cut people off from even social relationships, which is where I think a lot of times we find ourselves today. So many of us can be secretly devoted to Jesus, believing in Jesus, loving Jesus, but being afraid to go public with it because we might lose relationships socially, or they might change, or we might be seen as intolerant or judgmental, or a Jesus freak, or a goody two-shoes, or, I have to pause there because I was working on a sermon. Sam came up to me just to, you know, hey Dad, how you doing, see what you're doing? And he kind of looked at, what's goody two-shoes reading on? So for those of you who don't, and actually they said, what, and two-shoes? And actually, I have no idea where goody two-shoes came from, but those of you who were over 30 know what I mean when I say goody two-shoes. And I don't know what the proper term would be for someone of a younger age, but holier than thou. No, that's still a long term. I don't know. Goody two-shoes, you know. Somebody who, you know, what? Entitled? Okay, that's still, you know, I mean a younger word. But, you know, we have this fear of what others are going to think of us, basically. You know, and Jesus says we have to die to all those thoughts, to the opinion of man, and let the opinion and the will of God come to life. Matthew read earlier, verse 25, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And the idea here is that the life we live here is counterfeit life. I talked recently about how much we love playing Monopoly in our family. But a lot of what we have is chasing this life is Monopoly money. We chase things in this life like success and fame and money and ease and comfort and thrills and experiences that are all fleeting. They're all passing away. The Bible says that they're like grass that is, you know, here one day and next day thrown into the fire. And to really live like the seed, like the acorn, you first have to die to something. And the most important part of the message here is figuring out what that is for you. Jake shared a couple things, what that dying, fighting to die looked like for him. What is it that you need to fight to die to? Is it being liked? Is it the opinion of others? Is it ease? Is it being successful or being seen as successful, whatever that means to you? Financially, athletically, you know, having popularity? Is it being died to, you know, having your mind numbed by, you know, just television, alcohol, or computer games? You have to die to a little bit to something that's taking up all your time, like Facebook or Pinterest or antiquing or fantasy sports or trivia crack, which I've never done, but I understand that people can get addicted to. The boys were watching Star Wars the other day. The first one, I just call it the first one. Episode 4, the first one they made. The first Star Wars, and Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Darth Vader, strike me down and it'll only make me stronger. I want to encourage you this morning to strike down, or at least bring balance in the force, to those things that aren't so important to you, to me, but shouldn't be. And then see how much stronger that you become as you're able to open up your time, your thoughts, your emotions, your desires to be used by God and for God and with God. And maybe God will use that newfound space to lead you to Jamaica. Or maybe he's going to use that to encourage others right here. Or maybe he's going to use that newfound space to encourage you and you know, deeper into his word. But you'll never know until you die to yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your words in Scripture, and help us to take them as they are. die to our old, to our desires, to be able to really live, you know, by ourselves up to your desires. Thank you for Jake and his testimony and how we can see you living, acting, breathing, working in and through his life. God, the way that you are developing him and molding him and shaping him in sometimes uncomfortable ways. Help us not to shy away from our own crucible, our own fire, our own ways that you want to mold us to be more like your son Jesus. Help us to be able to pinpoint in our own lives what is that thing or things that need to become less so that you can become more. Help us to pinpoint and nail down what it is that you are calling us to die to, so that more of us and more of our spirit will be open to you, your leading, your purposes, your will, your future that you have planned for us, and to leave our plans behind. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. But the worship team could come back up front this morning, and we're going to get you on.